From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, December 13th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
A new law passed by Maine voters last month was touted as a potential national test case on the constitutionality of limits on political donations. And as Kevin Miller reports, the case is in fact headed to federal court.
Even before question one passed by overwhelming margins last month, the backers of the initiative were gearing up for a legal fight. In fact, that was a major reason why the groups chose Maine as the venue to set a $5,000 annual limit on how much individuals, businesses, and political groups can donate to so-called super PACs.
Contrary to popular belief, the Supreme Court has never ruled on super PACs, and now they might have a chance to do so.
Kara McCormick is with Citizens to End Super PACs, the political action committee behind question one.
There's a glaring flaw in the lower court ruling that once you see it, you can't unsee it. We know we're on the right side of history in Maine, and we have faith that the courts, with all of their might, will respect our sovereignty and uphold the new law.
Under current state and federal law, there are no limits on how much you can donate to super PACs that spend money to help or hurt political candidates. To McCormick and her allies, that allows wealthy donors to make huge donations that create the potential for corruption and bribery. But Charles Miller, with the Institute for Free Speech, which filed a lawsuit Friday in federal court challenging question one, says more than 30 federal appellate judges have already ruled that limits on political contributions violate free speech.
It's not a heavy lift for them to have made that decision. And it's an extremely heavy lift if the proponents think that the United States Supreme Court would even entertain taking this case. That's just not going to happen.
Miller's group filed the lawsuit on behalf of two conservative political action committees in Maine, Dinner Table Action and For Our Future. The groups have raised and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in recent elections, and they argue a $5,000 cap and new donor disclosure requirements would have, quote, severe consequences for Mainers who wish to organize and exercise their political speech rights. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
The USDA has awarded a loan of more than $14 million to Eastern Maine Electric Cooperative to build or improve more than 70 miles of power lines. Caitlin Badion has more.
The cooperative says it will use the loan to connect 600 consumers. The funds will also go toward a four-year plan to improve the reliability of the electric system that serves roughly 13,000 customers along Maine's eastern border with Canada. Rural Development Maine State Director Rhiannon Hampson says local funding alone is not adequate to modernize local infrastructure. This week, USDA released a total of more than 200 awards across 44 states. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badion.
Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is highlighting the findings of the federal government's first ever report on textile waste in the United States. The Government Accountability Office's report, requested by Pingree, is recommending that Congress take action. Carol Bousquet has more.
Every second, a dump truck of textiles ends up in a landfill, according to the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. The decomposition of that waste leads to the contamination of air, water, and soil ecosystems. The fashion industry is reportedly responsible for nearly 10% of all global greenhouse gas emissions, more than the aviation sector and maritime shipping combined. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree is chair of the Congressional Slow Fashion Caucus.
You know, something like a third of the packages coming in from outside of the country today are from Temu and Shein, the kind of places where people buy low-cost clothing that are made in mostly in China, often not using any environmental standards. So one of it is to raise consumer awareness and just helping people to better understand what they're buying and what's happening with all the clothes that they throw away.
Pingree says recycling fast fashion often relies on fabric made from fossil fuel products. She'd like to see incentives created for cotton, linen, wool, and hemp makers to advance sustainable fashion here. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Newly unionized medical interpreters and dozens of supporters rallied outside Maine Medical Center in Portland today, calling on Maine Health Management to meet their demands for a proposed labor contract. The interpreters, who work with non-English-speaking patients, voted last year to unionize with the Maine Service Employees Association. French and Lingala interpreter Alex Bukasa says wages are a key issue on the bargaining table, but he says he's also concerned about the health system's reliance on interpreters who are brought in over the phone.
Sometimes with foreign interpretation, there are some mistakes and some issues that can come. But we are the in-person interpreters, and it's the most effective way of interpretation for the safety of our patient.
As an in-person interpreter, Bukasa says he often has to help bridge cultural as well as linguistic gaps. In a statement, Maine Health says it is confident the parties can reach a fair and responsible agreement. Several physicians and healthcare advocates are accusing Harvard Pilgrim of discrimination against HIV patients in Maine. As Patty White reports, they filed a complaint with the Maine Bureau of Insurance.
According to the complaint, Harvard Pilgrim's plans for 2025 will no longer cover two of four recommended drugs that treat HIV. The complaint says that one drug, Biktarvy, is prescribed to nearly half of all HIV patients in the U.S. The executive director of the Franny Peabody Center, Katie Rutherford, is among those who filed the complaint in early November. She says she hoped it would be resolved by December 15th, the deadline to enroll in insurance coverage that begins in January.
It seems as though the purpose of this change and the reason why we believe it's discriminatory is because it discourages people from enrolling, and we're seeing that happen in real time.
Rutherford says Franny Peabody is now scrambling to enroll people with HIV in other health plans. A spokesperson from Harvard Pilgrim says it's reviewing its changes. Meanwhile, the Bureau of Insurance says it's investigating the matter, but that current plan members who use Biktarvy will continue to have coverage in 2025. Similar complaints have been filed against Harvard Pilgrim in New Hampshire and Rhode Island. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
The Maine Connectivity Authority is now accepting applications for its new Working Internet ASAP program. The program is aimed at reaching the 9,000 homes and businesses in Maine that don't have access to any internet service. The authority will purchase low Earth orbit satellite hardware and allow users to access the internet through Starlink. Eligible residents can apply online on the authority's website or by calling 207-430-3112. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Join us tomorrow morning at 8 for Weekend Edition with Carol Bousquet. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.